Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, we're coming from you live. Well, not live, you're not hearing this live. That's not how podcasts typically work. But it's me, Eric Corrine. This is Jurassic Pod, episode 2. I'm coming from you at a hotel just, I don't know directions in this city. Just
you keep saying coming from you.
Just below Times Square, let's say. In New York City, I'm with Holly McKenzie. How are you, Holly?
I'm good. Did you notice you kept saying I'm coming from you, not to you?
No, but we're not going to change that. We're just going to let people know how the magic is made, or something quite less than magic in some cases. How's it going? What's new?
Oh, you know, it's going well. I was not at MSG, but you were, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, my first trip to MSG, my first game at MSG, completing the Eastern Conference list for me. Still, a
few how was that out- your?
Sorry, go on.
That's your only Eastern Conference arena you hadn't been to?
Yeah, it's really weird that was the last one. I think it's because, like, at the beginning of my tenure, the Raptors were sort of boring and bad. Not boring necessarily, but bad. So we didn't travel that much. And then when the Raptors got good, the Knicks got really bad. So a trip to New York wasn't in the cards. So this was my and as I told the story last week, I was supposed to go to New York to MSG, and then the pandemic hit. So game number one for me at MSG. Right. Just a few left in the Western Conference. Do you want to hear, before we get into the Raptors, who, by the way, had a perfect week. They have not lost in the Jurassic Pod era. Do you want to hear about my travel story before we get to that?
I do.
Okay, so Monday, Monday, game day, game morning, there's a shoot around going on. Mm-hmm. James mm-hmm. Herbert, friend of the podcast, I think we can say, tells me to make sure to get to MSG early. Sometimes there are issues at security for shoot around. It ended up being fine there, but I did appreciate the warning. So the Raptors are shooting around at about 10:30. I'm trying to be there by 10, something like that. Brushing my teeth, it's probably 20 to 10. It's a very short walk from my hotel to MSG. I'm like halfway through brushing my teeth and trying to turn off the water. And if you can picture it, it's like a faucet with a hot water tap and a cold water tap, which mm-hmm. are attached to the wall. And I try to turn both off, and I can't help but notice that the faucet is still running. So I turn, but it's only hot water coming out of the tap. So I turn the hot water tap one way, turn it the other way. It's still running, and then it gets, the hot water tap itself gets loose. And all of a sudden, there is water coming out of the wall. At first it's just dripping, and I'm trying to hold like the tap and press it in. I told my wife, Andy, this, and she said it sounded like a sitcom. I'm trying to hold it like against the wall to prevent flow from happening. And I do that for a while, but you have to remember it's hot water. It's not like the easiest thing to keep my head there without like scalding myself. So I call the front desk a total of 3 times, like increasingly panicked over 5 minutes. To make a long story short, at the end of at the third call, by now there is no containing it, and there is like a gushing flow of hot water coming out of the wall. I quickly throw all my electronics up onto my bed to avoid things getting wet. Nothing has broken that I've seen so far. My passport got a little wet. I might have lost a pair of sweatpants in changing rooms. There was apparently flooding down four floors of like below me. The floor in my room was like completely soaked. They eventually got it stopped, but I changed in the hallway, ran to MSG, and the kicker of this is, of course, I got there about 25 minutes before the Raptors got there.
As always.
So I did get a new room. Man. The good people at the hotel gave me some points for my trouble, if anybody's concerned about that. But that is like the biggest calamity I've ever had on the road. Like just a straight up flood.
So the one thing that confused me, it wasn't the shower, it was literally
the sink.
The sink?
Yeah.
But the water came from the walls. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. I'm not going to name the hotel because I mean, that's not really my style. Yeah. It's a chain hotel, a Marriott chain of hotels, like a specific brand of Marriott hotels that is known for its economical use of space.
Gotcha. Let's say. Gotcha.
So the sink is like very close to the bed and like outside of the washroom proper.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But that was really smart of you to immediately grab the electronics. Like, I don't know. I probably would have thought that, but maybe I would. I don't know. I would have panicked.
Did panic. Yeah. I have no idea what I sounded like on the phone with the front office person, but, I did not. I don't think I swore at anybody. I just brought up my intensity and tried to convey the urgency of the situation. Speaking of urgency, the Raptors are playing with a sense of it, which is kind of yes. That was pained and labored. But as far as segues go, it's fine. 4-0 this week, capped off by a captivating 9-point win, I believe it was a 9-point win, over the New York Knicks in MSG, which I mistakenly called a back-to-back because MSG, the YES Network, showed a replay of the Knicks-Pelicans game on Sunday that I thought was happening live. It was not.
Oh.
Anyway,
well, you know why they were showing that then, right?
We got that fixed on The Athletic, by the way. Why, Holly?
Because RJ Barrett had a career high 35, and it was, he was like the youngest Knick player to ever score 35.
He balled
shooting
out.
At least 68 or 65%. Yeah, he was amazing. And we got to see some of that last night against the Raptors.
Yeah, did.
Shout out to RJ Barrett.
I predicted him for most improved player.
Ooh, nice.
Spicy little prediction. We'll see if it comes true. He was pretty good against the Raptors. Before we get into that game, the biggest news this week, I would say, is A, Scottie Barnes continuing to be awesome, and B, him getting injured. Before we get into that, in the little
rundown. And C, he wore skeleton
pants.
Yeah,
and I was about to say, in the little rundown he provided me, in all caps with an exclamation mark, it says skeleton pants. So what's your quick review?
I loved them. It was festive. It was fun. It was cool. I kind of wish the shirt would have been skeleton-y and not just like sequin branding, but it was really exciting. I didn't notice it until, oh my goodness, the third or the fourth quarter, they showed like a clip of him on the bench standing and I was like, wait a second, what? And then it was so fun. I really enjoyed it. It was very fun. Did you see it?
I only saw the pictures. I mean, once I saw the pictures, I could see him live, but like we're not in the locker room right now, so it's not like we got a chance to see them up close. Before that, he had two huge games in a row. I believe it was 21 and 12 against the Pacers, and he had 21 against the Magic as well in the big let's not call it a showdown between the fourth and fifth picks, because they're friends and they kind of play different positions.
And it's lame to boo a rookie that's done nothing to you.
Yeah, let's briefly touch on that. When to rewind, Raptors win by 1 point over the Orlando Magic. Jalen Suggs at the line. The Raptors are winning in the final 2 minutes by about 7 or 8 points. And a part of the crowd is chanting, Scotty's better, which, as Scotty Barnes pointed out, it's more love for Scotty than anything negative directed at Jalen Suggs. But when you're saying Scotty's better, it's obviously negative directed at Jalen Suggs. Yeah, yeah, the better refers to somebody.
Yes.
So, and Jalen Suggs then went on to hit his free throws, hit a three, plus an and one. I don't remember. I think it was Cole Anthony that set up Wagner to bring it down to 1 point. And if Jamal Mosley didn't call a timeout, I'm just saying, Jalen Suggs had the ball in his hands with about 6 seconds to go and a 1 point deficit, and he might have broken some hearts. And I couldn't have. I would have to say that the Raptors fans who are chanting Scotty's better would have deserved that fate.
They would have. He almost had some Orlando Magic. Sorry. I've been big on puns lately, and they're not good at all, they're funny.
Yeah, not good, but it's yeah.
I think they're funny.
It is like it is their badness that makes it endearing.
I think that the Magic went on like a 9-0 run after.
I think that they finished 11-0 on an 11-0 run.
11-0 run. Okay, yeah. So it was like the fans absolutely would have deserved that as much as fans can like deserve a loss, you know? But yeah, I didn't like it. And I know people are like, oh, whatever, like not a big deal. It was just unnecessary to me. Especially considering,
you know, after
like he's done nothing to your franchise. There's plenty of guys if you want to, like
Barnes was,
you would have more reason.
Barnes was picked fourth overall, and they immediately cut to Suggs because that's the person everybody expected to go there, and he was like standing up and clapping. Let's just take a breath.
And they're friends. Yeah. The post-game photos they took on the court were adorable. This rookie team, man, a lot of talent, but also a lot of amazing smiles these guys have.
Good,
I love it.
Good vibes, good smiles. Anyway, I think our collective point is there wasn't a shortage of opportunities to actively cheer for Scotty Barnes instead of cheering for him in opposition to somebody else. And that's the great point, the great part of this for Raptors fans is they've got a special one going on. What have you thought about, before he missed the game against New York, what did you think about how he was performing in those last few games?
Yeah, the irony is I've been complaining about fans yelling Scotty better, but the reality is Scotty better. Like Scotty's awesome, man. Like, wow. He was impressed. He was impressive the first week as well. But just seeing him the last two games before he was out against the Knicks, he's just doing it all within the offense. Like sometimes you'll notice he's playing really well, and that's awesome. But then other times it doesn't really feel like he's done that much. He doesn't look out of place or bad or anything, but you just don't really look at his stats. And then you look and it's like he has a double double and you're like, what? How did that happen? And then he finishes with 21 and 12, or in the Indiana game, he was the person who clinched the game with free throws in the final seconds. Like, it just seems like no matter what is asked of him or the situation he finds himself in, he's really calm and he's showing what he can do on both ends of the floor. And also the mid-range shots he's hitting, I didn't expect any of that.
That's the most surprising part for me right now. He wasn't just questioned as a three-point shooter. He was questioned as a shooter, period. And he definitely is seeking those shots out at various points in the game, for sure.
And also just take the number of shots that he's taking. And then one of the coolest things this year to me has been how much trust Nick Nurse has shown in both of his rookies, Scotty and Delano.
This is David Johnson erasure.
No, but I mean the two rookies that are a regular part of the rotation.
Yeah, I understand. 2 weeks in. Yeah. And Justin Champagne.
Yeah, he was good against the Knicks. Yeah. He also played some good minutes. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think it's awesome that Scotty can take, you know, 17 shots or 20 shots or whatever it was, and Nick can say, yeah, you took a lot of shots, take some more. In the same sort of vein there, Nick also having Delano Banton, the 46th pick, not to switch topics too much, but that's what I do. Sorry.
That's fine.
he's a regular part of the rotation now. Like, he's playing in the first quarter, coming into the first quarter pretty much every game. And looking at the draft, is there another second round pick who's a regular part of the rotation?
I don't know the answer to this question.
I feel like it's probably no. And if there is someone, it's probably only like one other player. So... yeah, 46th pick, man.
Yeah, I talked to Kem Birch before the game on Monday and just asked him a bit about Banton, and he was like, I had no idea who that guy was, which is so which is so weird to hear about Canadian basketball
that
players
is crazy.
Because we I mean, we've been covering the sport long enough that we remember and think of Canada basketball as, I think, like quite like a community, but like not a huge one. So like if there are guys coming up, the older guys will know about them, and and just for somebody to be able to make this sort of contribution in his first 8 games for the Raptors, and for Kem Birch, you know, one of the sort of elder guys in this wave of Canadian talent, just to not know who he was before Summer League, basically, it's amazing. And yeah, Delano Banton didn't play in the second half against the Knicks, and I think, you know, we don't have to, I wrote about this, it will be up Wednesday, Nick Nurse just coached sort of by feel in sort of a masterful way that has me kind of worried about minutes piling up, but like I couldn't help but admire what he was doing on the sideline. But like in general, your point is well taken. Like the trust for a second round pick, a guy who's like not a traditional point guard by any means, who's, you know, back in summer league, they're having to coach up to play at a faster pace, which is the main reason he's out there. And he's producing. Like, he is one of the better plus minuses on the team. He's making things happen.
He also just seems like a crazy intuitive and really smart player. Like, if he makes a mistake once and then he's told not to do it, it's like it comes naturally the next time. Like, I feel like he has grown a lot since summer league, like you mentioned. And yeah, I think it's just an awesome story. I mean, it's cool. It's so awesome that he's playing for the Raptors and he's from Rexdale. But don't like get lost in that part, that you forget that he's also really freaking good for a 46th pick. And we're only seeing the very beginning of what he can do and who he may become, which is really cool.
Yeah. Just touching on Scotty quickly to wrap up the rookie portion of this. He did miss the game, as I said, against the Knicks with a sprained finger. I believe he did it on when he was giving a foul at the end of the Pacers game. So the foul they took before Domantas Sabonis fired up the three. I saw him before the Knicks game. His usual shooting group includes Delano Banton and Justin Champagne, the rookies. They were going through the normal contact drills. He wasn't, but he was also lightly dribbling, I would say, mostly with his, I'm not going to remember exactly which hands. There's only two options, Eric. He was using his injured hand, but certainly mostly shying away from using it, but there was no wrap on it at the time. There was a bit of a brace and a wrap on it during the game when he's on the bench. They're calling it a sprain. His timetable's unknown. We'll update you as it comes along. They had an x-ray done after the game against Indiana, an MRI done on the day of against the Knicks. It doesn't sound too serious, but they're obviously going to play this one cautiously, I think, is where that goes. And
obviously Scotty made sure to contribute in the Knicks win after the Knicks win, despite not playing, by I'm sure you saw his story on Instagram.
You sent it to me. I listened to it in Central Park as best as I could.
He filmed himself talking to OG about his career high on the team bus. And as you can probably expect, it went about how you would assume.
Yeah.
Scotty was extremely enthusiastic and OG just wanted to get wherever they were going on the bus.
OG, by the way, had one of his most verbose scrums following his career high 36 points against the Knicks. He was certainly shifted into an even bigger role given that Barnes was out playing 41 minutes. But yeah, like it was funny. One of the members of the media relations staff messaged me to say how chatty, comparatively chatty OG was being. And I said, I was like, this is peak OG, to which the person responded. He just said they were good questions, so they deserved good answers, which I don't think OG said. But yeah.
I hope that's what OG said.
I hope it. I certainly do hope it was.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So the Raptors spent the night in New York, but before that, OG Anunoby, awesome against the Knicks in 41 minutes, 36 yeah. points. And I'll tell you what impressed me most, and maybe we'll see how you saw the game from the TV. Defending Julius Randle is a load. Mm-hmm. It is a lot. And Julius Randle was giving it to him and giving it to the Raptors in that first quarter. Yeah, 18 points for Randle. Randle is a thick, powerful dude. That's to take nothing away from Anunoby, who is the same. But he was just getting scored on. And he was absorbing most of those possessions. And to be able to do that and not only help hold Randle to, I believe, only 4 points the rest of the game, but get stronger with your own offense as the night goes along, despite absorbing those defensive possessions and doing it in different ways. Certainly he had 4 3-pointers. I believe he took 12, which is a ton. It made sense, but also doing it from the mid-range, a few drives here and there, just a really complete performance. And the way he stuck with it, considering what he had to do on the other end, is really what impressed me.
Yeah, he was awesome. I mean, especially last night, especially against Randle, on both ends of the floor, you really saw how strong he is. I mean, I know we know this and we've watched OG for a few years now, but there's certain possessions and certain plays in games where I just think, oh my God, he is so strong. And I hate to do the Kawhi comparison just because
it's not fair.
It's impossible to compare anybody to Kawhi, basically. But sometimes there are possessions with OG where it's just the strength of his body and the way that he uses that strength, where the only person that comes to mind for me, it does remind me of Kawhi. And there was one of those drives that you were you alluded to earlier, or you mentioned earlier. I just remember thinking, oh my goodness, his shoulders, like there was no way he was going to be stopped from getting to the rim. And yeah, as you said, defensively, just being able to use that strength to completely change the game from that first quarter. I mean, Randle was pretty much unstoppable. And then that was it. We didn't really hear from him again. And like you said, I didn't realize it was 12 3-point attempts, which sounds crazy to think of. Like if you told me, oh yeah, OG is going to take 12 threes, something went wrong in that game. You know, that's what I would have thought. But he was amazing. He scored all over the floor in all different ways. And defensively, he helped change the game. So yeah, 36 points for him. Awesome.
What was really fascinating about that game and why I sort of wrote about it, which is again coming out Wednesday, is that Nick Nurse doesn't make a single substitution in the third quarter, which by the way, they won 38-22. He went with Kem Birch in Precious Achiuwa's place, and we can talk about that in a bit. But also the rest of the starters. Mikhailyuk, I can't pronounce his name. Is that it? Mikhailyuk, that's it.
Now you're confusing
me. Svi Mikhailyuk, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Mikhailyuk?
That's what we're rolling with right now. So Birch, Mikhailyuk, who was in Barnes' place, Ananobi, Van Vliet, and Trent, all 12 minutes. And I asked him about it after the game. He said there were a few points when he thought about making the shift or making a change. And ultimately, it was just like, let's just get to the quarter. We'll figure out the rest then. And in some ways, what he managed to do after that was a bit more, not, I don't know if impressive is the word, but like gutsy. Like he put out, as we mentioned, he put out Flynn for 5 minutes. He put out Champagne. He put Achiuwa back into the game for 5 minutes. And while I don't think Achiuwa was, you know, great in his second half appearance, when he's obviously getting pulled because his production isn't what you want, it's nice to give him, like, if only for a player's confidence and a player's relationship with his coach,
definitely,
it's nice to give him a chance to do something positive in the second half. And, you know, that probably doesn't happen if the Raptors are only up like 6 as opposed to 12 or 14, but Nurse read the room. And I think he read it correctly. So out of all those moves, whether it's Champagne, Flynn, or the center shift / handling of those minutes, what do you want to talk about, Holly?
Yeah, I want to talk about Kem, man.
Yeah, that stands to reason.
He's been awesome. I mean, we talked about it a bit last week, but he was a team best plus 20 in the game last night in his 31 minutes. And I think the thing about Kem is just he's solid. Like, you know what you're going to get from him, and he also really knows his teammates well. Like, he knows where he's supposed to be. He recognizes, you know, whether, like, what is a higher percentage shot, whether it's going to be him or whether he should, like, give the ball back. And I don't want to harp on Precious, who didn't have a great game. But I think the difference between Precious and Kem is the stability that Kem brings, because you know what you're getting. Like, with Precious, he's a bit of a wild card offensively.
And,
you know?
And to be fair, they've asked him to push the limits of his game, and he's not striking the right balance right now. That's all.
And that's gonna be a learning experience for him and a growing curve and all of that. It's not that he is not doing what they asked. It's just that if you're in a game where you know, you don't have a large lead or you're trying to take the lead, stability can be really good. And I feel like Kem, you really saw how much the offense opened up in the second half, especially that third quarter, like the number of threes they were getting. Kem's really good with this group. I just thought he was awesome. And I think you were at practice today.
They canceled practice, which we don't need to comment on.
Did Kem talk today? Why do I feel like I saw quotes of
Kem?
He talked after the game. Sorry, yeah. So that was from last night. Yeah. I thought his quotes were really interesting, where he was saying, you know, he's feeling good. But after the trade last year, his scoring went up. So people on the outside might think that, like, he's not playing as well to start this year because he's not scoring as many points as last year. The fact that he has, like, the maturity and the perspective to be able to, like, look beyond that and to look, the team's winning, I'm contributing, I feel good about my contributions, I think that is really awesome. And we often talk about, like, things that you can't teach or things that can't come without experience. I think he's showing that even just from how he's looking at what he's done. And yeah, I think he's been really, really, really good.
Yeah, he's and again, like he didn't start that strongly, and he was coming off of mm-hmm. COVID, as he said, and he's really finding his role within the team. I think I mentioned his floater last week, but his it's funny that you mentioned how much more freely the offense flowed with mm-hmm. him in the game. And it's not because Kem's creating a bunch of spacing out there. Like, he took 1-3. It's not a situation you want to find him in much, even though, like, they're going to continue to experiment with it. But that's not a big deal. But his functional spacing in terms of knowing when to cut into the top of the paint and his, like, consistency or relative consistency with what we should remember is a tough shot. Like, just because it's in the paint, not all paint shots are created equal. That's functional space. And he knows how to read his teammates. He got the shovel pass from OG last night again, late in the game. And it's just, you know, he's a veteran. He's an intelligent player. Mm-hmm. And it's impressive that he has learned his teammates that quickly and knows
this when well, to help. Right?
It's been like 2 months total now, if you include the first 2 weeks of this season and the last month and a half of last season. So pretty impressive stuff. Do you have any thoughts on if he should be starting going forward? I mean, what do you expect?
Very well. Yeah, I feel like that may happen. I wouldn't be surprised at all if that change does happen. I don't feel super like passionately, you know. I think it's, in my opinion, it's obvious that Kem is the better fit right now. But it's also, like you said, like, I'm also not like mad at Precious or anything. Like, I think that he's gonna continue to work his way and try to learn what works and find that balance, you know, that you were mentioning. But yeah, Kem has been such a nice surprise, and just like the calm that he brings when he's on the floor. I really I didn't anticipate missing when it's not there, you know. And also, I know this is sort of going back, but when you were talking about Nick, one thing that's really cool about Nick and other coaches that are really good is like just how important it is to roll with those things when intuitively you feel it, you know, like in that third quarter, not making a substitution. That is rare, but and it is it's a risk, you know. You're constantly weighing risks, like, will they have enough energy in the fourth? Am I going to push this too far? And even then, in the fourth, when you're taking guys out to give them a rest, how long can you rest your starters? Are you going to push it too much? And this is off topic, but my mom texted me during the fourth and she was very stressed out. She was like, what are they doing? They have to get the other guys back in. I don't know why they're doing this. And lo and behold, there's a reason why my mother, I love her so much, but there's a reason why my mother is not an NBA coach and Nick Nurse is. So I thought Nick was awesome last night as well. It was just a great game.
It's funny. It's funny what you mentioned, like, because you don't want to be beholden to rotational patterns, mm-hmm. but you also don't want to be stuck in that situation where your guys might run out of gas or you might not be able to get the optimal lineup on at the same time. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think he, you know, we're going to talk briefly about the guy who played the most minutes last night. So it's not like he struck a perfect balance. And it's not like he's struck a perfect balance over the season. I think, like, he's probably going a bit harder on the win now than I expected. But mm-hmm. guess what? They've won 5 out of their 8 games in 4 in a row. So, like, they have won.
Without
Scottie Barnes in this last game, and without Yuta Watanabe for all 8 games as well. So, like, he's going a bit win now, but it's working. Like, so I think if and when Siakam gets back, and there's no update there, I would guess within the next few weeks, that should, like, just another player other than Van Vliet and Anunoby, and as it turns out, Gary Trent, to soak up, you know, mid 30 minutes is going to help you bring down those minutes of the other guys. Speaking of which, 43 minutes for Gary Trent last night. 26 yeah. points, another four steals, a few
deflection.
Yeah,
king.
Yeah. He and Fred, I believe, are tied for most deflections. Yep. I think Gary Trent is right near the leaders in steals right now. Mm-hmm. And certainly it got the offense going the last few yeah. nights. He had an off night in Indy, but bookended by a 19-point performance against the Magic and 26, including a quartet of three-pointers against the Knicks.
Yeah.
I don't know how much there is to say about Gary Trent because he tends to be kind of a make-or-miss player, but the defense is the revelation for me.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, you can say whatever you want about his offense. I know sometimes fans don't love some of his heat check shots if they're not going in. Funny how that works. If they fall, great. If they don't, bad shots. The same shots that everyone's cheering when they drop are bad shots when they don't drop. You know how that is. But yeah, the one thing that isn't like the one thing that the offense doesn't, his offense isn't impacting is his defense. His defense has been so good to start this season. And you see it in the hustle stats, the steals and the deflections. There was a possession last night. I don't know if you will remember it or if you saw the replay. I'm guessing they probably didn't show the replay in the arena. But he ripped the ball away and they called a foul. And Gary was really heated. Like the mics caught him like full out screaming.
Oh, I saw you tweet about that. Yes.
Yeah. 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 So the mics caught him screaming that like it was a steal and it was clean. And then the replay, or I mean, the Raptors showed the replay. It was such a good steal. He just ripped the ball away. And so, you know, terrible call. But just that play in particular, I just loved it because I was like, man, this guy is just giving it every single possession. Like he has made this his mission and he has been so good defensively.
I don't think there's much to add on that. He's that it's just... It's funny when I wrote about him, seeing some Portland fans show up in the mentions saying, yeah, like this guy can defend. He did have that reputation in the bubble, I remember. And it just seemed like he wasn't in sync with what the Raptors wanted to do more than being a liability on defense after the trade last year. And he certainly has figured it out. So let's zoom out for a moment before we say goodbye. Raptors are 5-3. They are tied for 15th in offensive rating, 106.6. They are 8th in defensive rating, 102.3. That gives them overall the 7th best net rating. Early sample size, blah, blah, blah.
Whatever. Exciting. Yeah,
but does my question, I guess, is does the performance so far change your overall outlook on what you're expecting, particularly before Siakam comes back, but for like the long-term potential of this team this year?
Yeah, well, listen, you don't know this, and I'm curious to see your expression when I tell you this, but I did a Raptors season opening preview day with CBC Radio, and I was asked repeatedly my predictions for this team, and I said that they could be as high as 5th in the East, because I think they're going to be a good team, and I think that the biggest thing for them is going to be they're going to be a nightmare to play against. That's what I thought coming into the season. I think we're seeing that. And they're going to play hard every night. I didn't think there would be games where there'd be a lot of, like, lack of
effort. Yeah.
And especially in that Knicks game, like, they were down in that game. The way they turned that around was super impressive.
I'm not going to lie. I called the game over when they were they were down 10 or 12 in the first quarter. And, like, the offense was just so labored in that first quarter. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to imagine a world in which... like a few quarters later, they'd put up 38 points. Like it was almost impossible to believe, but that just shows how stupid I am.
But you're on the road. Yeah. You don't have Pascal. You don't have Scotty, who's been like, you know, one of the best players on your team to start the season, which is also crazy. Yay, Scotty. Yay, rookies. You don't have Utah. You're on the road. You're in MSG. MSG has a little bit of hype right now, as they should. Best video to come out of the NBA was the fans after that opening night, the bing bong thing that I've watched that so many times, it's ridiculous. But it's easy if you're down that much in the first quarter to just let it go. It's easy to just like let it go. And before you know it, the game has spiraled into a 25-point lead. And that didn't happen. And I did think the Raptors would be like this, but I also thought that they would have a really rough first 6 to 8 weeks without Pascal, and then bringing him back and getting, you know, the rookies accustomed to NBA. But they've blown me out of the water with how strong they've started, considering those things.
Yeah. And as we saw last year, like, you expected, like, you saying that you expected a rough start, I kind of did as well. But that can define a team season. Like, I think the Raptors were on their way to coming back. And if the issue with the protocols and COVID didn't happen, maybe the season turns out. I think the season does turn out differently. How differently, I don't know, but certainly affects some things. But that start of the season, the 2-8 start, when they lost a bunch of close games, they couldn't really recover from that fully. And knowing that they won't have to do that now, and they have one of their most productive players coming back, hopefully in short order, that certainly raises my optimism about where the season can go. I think before the season, I said something similar to what you said. I said, like, their ceiling is like fourth or fifth in the East. Yeah. Their floor is like 13th in the East. Like, it could, and I think I leaned a bit closer to the negative. Like, I was in the middle of that, obviously. I said they'd lose in the play-in game. And so I was leaning negative, and I think the start has me leaning positive now. Like,
not you leaning negative and me leaning positive.
Yeah, I know. Hard to believe. Like, so, like, instead of, and like, these are just markers, nothing like I'm predicting hardcore, but, you know, it's easier to envision a world in which they're hosting the 7-8 play-in game now, or like they somehow find a way into the, you know, sixth or fifth spot. That seems more plausible than them really bottoming out this year. It's very early days, but that's just sort of how how the team's performance has changed my mindset.
Early days, but happy days. I feel really good about it.
Happy days. And
last night was fun.
Happy days indeed.
Oh, sorry. What night was it? Monday night?
Yes.
Sunday night.
No, it was Monday.
Monday night. Yeah. Monday night was fun. Today is Tuesday.
Indeed. Coming up this week, Washington on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I'm about to hop on a train there, which I'm excited about because I like the train.
That is exciting.
Cleveland on Friday, where we get probably Scotty Barnes 1A. For best,
please give
rookie.
Us a Kevin Pangos. Give us Kevin Pangos.
I was talking about Evan Mobley, but Kevin Pangos is also technically a rookie, I believe. But yes, yeah, so it'd be nice to see New Market's own. I believe he's from New Market. And Brooklyn, KD and James Harden come on Sunday. I'd really like to see Scotty Barnes have to defend one of those guys. That'd be fun.
That would be really fun.
Anything you're looking forward to quickly before we say goodbye to the good people?
I'm looking forward to it all. I feel like the Raptors have, it's 4 wins in a row. I'm really curious to see what happens in Washington. Washington has been in some crazy games already to start this season. I'm excited. I feel really happy. And obviously there was a really great game last night. So that is some of it, but it's just exciting. It's exciting when you have a rookie that's playing this well. It's exciting when Gary Trent Jr. is, you know, showing this defensive side that is just awesome. OG, maybe we're watching OG become a star. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's on the table. There is nothing better as a fan to watch a team with like reasonable or low expectations.
Tons
of potential just exceed them improbably. And I think, not to get too positive, but that's how this season has started. Will it stay the course? Mm-hmm. I mean, there are almost deaths. There already have been ups and downs, so there will continue to be those. But more good than bad, for sure.
Also, shout out Pascal being on the bench and just being an awesome teammate, just like encouraging his teammates and being so into the game. I'm sure it's really crappy to have to miss moments like this, and just, you know, have to be out for so much of the start of the season. So he's been really great on the sideline.
Pretty sweet Roots jacket last night too for Pascal. I gotta get on a train, Holly. Thanks so much for joining me. We'll talk to y'all next week sometime between the Brooklyn game and the Boston game, I believe. That's on the following Wednesday. Holly.
Send good vibes to Scotty Barnes's hand, finger, thumb.
Yeah. I'll send them to all three just to be sure.
Yes.
Thanks for joining me, Holly.
Thank you so much.
See ya.